It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Buying and selling, but mostly selling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. GM loses some excess, some banks increasing their capital, and that Air France plane that vanished, it may have been found. It's the morning open. Let's ask the question this morning, where's Wall Street? Market's pretty much flat right now. The Dow up about a couple of points, 2.5 points, about 0.03%. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 down at this moment. Right now, European markets are mostly lower, and Asian markets went in different directions today. Julie Niemann is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So today, Morgan Stanley added its name to a growing list of banks making this move to pay back government bailout money. It says, $2 billion that they'll raise in common stocks? Late yesterday, J.P. Morgan Chase and American Express announced their own plans. Looks like these banks are going to end up with a lot of money, enough to pay back the government. So what are they going to do with these capital cushions they end up with? Are we going to see some lending pick up?
Well, there's going to be a lot of extra capital cushion, you know, but first, after selling all this common stock to private investors, they won't be relying upon those FDIC loss guarantees. But what are they going to do with the extra cash, and will they be free to lend again? Not likely. What they're going to probably be doing is buying their brethren to get bigger, because they can buy the assets at very good prices now. We thought they were too big to fail before. Well, they're only going to get bigger.
And the Treasury Secretary, Julie, Tim Geithner, wrapped up his visit to China today. How successful do you think he was in giving the dollar a bit of a confidence boost?
Well, yesterday, this was Tim's rally, basically. Tim the Toolman Geithner was on bended knee to China. He wants them to buy long-term treasuries. Now, the Chinese are concerned about inflation. They're only going to save with short-term treasuries. But if they don't buy, our long-term rates rise, and that's quashing any hope for cheap mortgage rates. So Tim basically says inflation's not a problem, trying to support the dollar, which has been sagging. His comments really supported those markets. China basically needs to get in there and create a consumer economy. We can't buy their stuff. They've got to buy their own stuff. And also buy our big machines to help them make it.
All right. Julie Niemann, thanks.
You bet.
General Motors says this morning it found a buyer for its Hummer brand. It hasn't released details, but the newly bankrupt automaker says the sale of Hummer will save at least 3,000 jobs. Brazilian military pilots say they found an airplane seat and life jacket, some metallic debris and signs of fuel, all in an area about 410 miles northeast of the Brazilian island of Fernando de Noronha. The pilots have been searching for a missing Air France aircraft that disappeared en route to Paris from Rio de Janeiro. Daryl Jenkins is an independent airline industry expert. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
What are the next steps in this investigation?
Well, this is going to be very long and laborious. They may or may not have found the wreckage or know where it is. They're going to have to get ships out there. They're working in excessively deep water. So this is going to be a very, very long investigation.
As an industry, Mr. Jenkins, when was the last time we saw an investigation of this scope, of this magnitude?
Well, everything about this is unique. Most crashes take place on takeoff or landing, and this was at cruising altitude, and that almost never happens. So this is a very, very rare occurrence of a very rare occurrence.
This tragedy, I mean, how will the airline industry deal with this going into the summer season?
Well, this is a bad year. We have a big drop-off in traffic. Generally, the summer season's more or less booked at this time. But a major airline with a good safety record will fly through a single accident with no problem whatsoever on its bookings.
Yeah, just an awful story. Daryl Jenkins, independent airline industry expert, we thank you for your time this morning, sir.
Always a pleasure.
listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, June 2, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Any day now, the Obama administration is set to unveil its new vision for banking industry oversight. There are lots of federal regulators, and the White House is likely to recommend consolidating those. But that's been tried already in the United Kingdom, and the results don't inspire much confidence. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The administration wants to combine bank regulators, and back in 1998, Britain did just that, creating the Financial Services Authority. Was that a success?
The financial crisis is at least as bad as ours. From that point of view, it did not work.
Martin Bailey chaired President Clinton's Council of Economic Advisers. He says the central British regulator didn't prevent the collapse of several British banks. And some U.S. lawmakers say that's proof consolidation is no fix.
I don't think you can draw that conclusion yet.
Bailey says Britain put too many firewalls between the new bank regulator and the country's central bank. When regulators needed lower interest rates to save banks, there was no coordination.
If you are going to consolidate your financial services authority, you need to make sure that it has close ties to the central bank, which is the lender of last resort.
Bailey says that doesn't rule out consolidation if it's done right. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
While gas prices are still off of their highs from last summer, oil prices have been on the rise again. They're up the past month at the fastest clip in a decade. And that means the subject of oil prices is likely to come up when President Obama visits Saudi Arabia this week. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Since January, the average price of a gallon of gas has shot up by about a dollar.
Americans buy about 140 billion gallons of gasoline a year.
Economist James Hamilton's at UC Santa Barbara.
So each dollar a gallon rise in the retail price takes $140 billion in spending power
out of the economy. And the economic impact can be even larger as consumers put off big purchases like new cars. But Rushir Kadakia at Cambridge Energy Research Associates says this year drivers don't need to worry.
They've probably seen the peak of what they're going to see at the pump over the summer.
One reason, Saudi Arabia will bring an enormous new oil field online this month. And Kadakia says the Saudis have no interest in another oil shock.
The danger to them is that the price moves so high that the world ends up weaning itself off of oil.
And they prefer for their international customers to remain addicted. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This week, Congress starts roughing out an overhaul of the health care system, and many insurers and drug companies fear that lawmakers will create a government plan to compete with private plans. This week, health care reform proponents are out in full force trying to counter that argument. Danielle Carson reports.
About a dozen health care advocates are breaking open their piggy banks and spending more than $80 million to get their point across. They argue that a government insurance program will create healthy competition. Richard Kirsch is with the group Healthcare for America Now.
We're looking to not have just everybody in government health insurance. We're not looking to everybody in private health insurance. We're looking to make that the choice that you and I and every American make.
But private insurers and drug companies worry the competition will force drastic price concessions and put them out of business. Kirsch says that would never happen.
It's extraordinary to me that the private health insurance industry, which has, you know, 160 million people around the country that enrolls, thinks it can't compete with a new public health insurance option that doesn't even exist.
Advocates say healthy competition could shave billions from the country's annual $2 trillion health care tab. Congress plans to vote on a final bill before it adjourns in August. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
The big European budget airline Ryanair reported today its first annual loss in its history. The carrier blames its ill-fated attempt to take over its Irish rival, Aer Lingus. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Ryanair lost around $240 million in its last financial year. The higher price of oil last summer accounts for some of this setback. But the company's stake in Aer Lingus caused the real damage. Ryanair wrote down its investment by more than $300 million. Its bid is being blocked by the Irish government and labour unions. Now Ryanair's stuck with a depreciating asset. Howard Wealdon is aviation analyst with the BGC Group. He says without the failed bid, the carrier would have made money.
Ryanair is doing reasonably well given the circumstances of the industry, and indeed it is the only airline that I can think of that is actually forecasting a profit for the current year.
The budget airline plans to increase its passenger base 15% this year by cutting fares by a fifth. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You know, the video game industry has finally started slumping like the rest of us. 2008 was a record year, but sales have begun to sag. Fortunately, it's time for the E3 Expo, the LA trade show where the industry launches new titles and new gadgets. Joel Rose takes a look.
Microsoft used old-fashioned star power to draw attention to new games for its Xbox 360 console. Surviving Beatles Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney showed up at the E3 Expo yesterday to show for the forthcoming Beatles edition of the popular music game Rock Band.
The graphics are very good, and we were great.
We love the game. It's fantastic. Who would ever thought we'd end up as androids?
Hollywood director Steven Spielberg was also on hand to help unveil a new Microsoft gadget called Project Natal that will let players control games using their bodies and voices and nothing else. Brian Crescenti is the editor-in-chief of Kotaku.com, a gaming news website.
They're trying to make this into something as easy to do as sitting down and watching a movie.
Crescenti says Microsoft is trying to woo the same casual gamers who made Nintendo's Wii such a hit.
They want to find people who aren't traditional gamers, who aren't comfortable with picking up a controller and trying to remember what buttons they have to mash.
Microsoft didn't say when the new controller would hit the market, but many of the games and consoles making their debut this week will be in stores later this year. Over the weekend, Sony leaked a promotional video for its latest game console, PSP Go.
We're on our way to an undisclosed secret location, escorted by Sony Computer Entertainment Security, to meet the newest member of the PlayStation family.
The new console is about the size of a portable phone, and that's no coincidence, says Justin McElroy, an editor at the website joystick.com. He says the big game studios are reacting to growing competition from independent designers who write inexpensive games for portable devices like the iPhone.
I think there's a real fear that some of these indie developers are going to eat their lunch.
If video game sales don't rebound soon, game developers may face pressure to cut prices on consoles and games. But nobody's expecting that kind of announcement today when Nintendo and Sony unveil their latest gizmos. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Gurgaon, India, is a city of more than 500,000 people just south of the capital of New Delhi. It is an IT boomtown, home to big companies, IBM and Microsoft. It's also known for its lawlessness. Some people call it India's Dodge City. And for that, there are plenty of residents who are armed and ready to defend. Raymond Thibodeau reports.
Traffic choked today. A decade ago, Gurgaon was mostly farmland. But the farmers saw rich pickings in selling their fields to developers. They all grew wealthy on a bumper crop of office parks and shopping malls. Farmer-turned-developer Narinder Janega owns a commercial real estate company here. People like him have made a killing.
They are selling again and again and getting very good gains. Some of them have new vehicles. Their lifestyle has been changed.
Janega says the city's wealth has attracted robbers, kidnappers, and carjackers, eager for a piece of the action. The rich, fed up with being victims of crime, have become gunslingers instead. The number of firearms licenses has tripled in the past 2 years. There's no shortage of customers at Haryana Gun Shop. Owner Tajina Singh says most of his clients are wealthy business people.
Crime is rising. You have money. You have to keep yourself protected. Police force can't protect each and every citizen.
But what does it say about a city when realtors and bankers are forced to play Wyatt Earp? Tajina Singh makes a nice living from gun sales, but as a local businessman, he wants a nice reputation for his hometown.
That is cowboy perception there. No. Here it is not that kind of thing.
Even so, according to some estimates, up to 40% of households in Gurgaon have at least one firearm. That puts Gurgaon on par with many U.S. cities in terms of gun ownership. But it's about five times the gun-owning rates of India's biggest cities. Bina Lakshmi Napram is Secretary General for the Control Arms Foundation of India. She says fear isn't the only reason for high gun-owning rates here.
Owning a gun for many upper-class Indians is like a status symbol. You buy a car, you buy a house, next thing is you have a gun.
Napram fears the current economic downturn will only make things worse. Many businesses are now getting out of Dodge. Job losses and poverty are on the rise. in a place where so many are still packing heat. In Gurgaon, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Hey, share your thoughts with us inside our website, marketplace.org. Scratchpad there with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside our website. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.